We welcome you back to the Commodore Hour as we talk Vanderbilt sports on this chilly Monday night in Nashville. Let's bring him in, interim Vanderbilt head football coach and offensive coordinator, Todd Fitch. We usually do our interviews on Thursday afternoon, but Todd, of course, joining me here on a Monday night. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing, Kev?
Doing fine. This has happened a couple times this season. You know, after you put in the work for a game week, how difficult was it to tell the team that, hey, we're not getting on the buses and going to Georgia, that the game is postponed?
No, it's certainly, you know, it's a unique situation this year, but you just feel for the players because they've had, an emotional week, but as the week went on, I thought they did a really good job of focusing and preparing the right way, and they were excited to go play. You know, it was going to be a great challenge at the University of Georgia, but, you know, the guys that were getting on that bus to go were excited about, you know, going and competing. So, you know, we had to take a step back, explain why things were done and how it was for their best interest, you know, in terms of our long-term, makeup of our team and, you know, player welfare and things like that. So
sure.
I think they understood it and have come back this week and started a great week of preparation for the Tennessee game.
How has all of this been for you personally with the coaching change and moving into this interim head coach role?
Well, it's been a whirlwind, obviously. You know, you're busy just enough just being an assistant coach or a coordinator, whatever it may be. But it's been eye-opening. It's been a great learning experience for me. And as I mentioned last week, really, you know, everything that kind of consumes our mind as coaches is really making sure that this situation is the best it is. We can make it the best we can for our players. And if we get, you know, these last couple of weeks of the season and put them in position to go out and play great football and finish this thing the right way.
You kind of almost look at it like just another challenge and what's been a really challenging season and just trying to keep everything pointed in the right direction.
No doubt. You know, there's a lot of distractions and, you know, talk about it all the time, you know, distractions destroy most teams. And, everybody in college football has had to deal with distractions one way or another. And we've been throwing probably more than our share this year for a lot of reasons you can control and some you can't control. But, that's been the biggest, obstacle really, is just to get them recentered, refocused, and get back on the field and prepare the right way. And that's really what we've been talking about this week a lot about, is just, you know, focusing on the process of what we need to do this week to go compete, play the best game we can Saturday, and obviously, you know, come out away with a win.
You're telling me the other day that your role on the sideline during the game will change a little. You have to stay closer to the field at all times or for timeouts,
yeah,
or, you know, whatever situations might happen during a game. Explain that part of it for you. You're usually very hands-on with the quarterbacks during the game, but that'll be a little different with you in this role, correct?
Yeah, you know, obviously when we have the ball offensively, nothing will change. But when, you know, during a special team situation or obviously defensive situation, you know, I have to be accessible because if there's a timeout needed or something with officials, you know, there's only certain things a head coach can do. So I have to be available. So we'll have to alter, you know, our sideline a little bit where the quarterbacks will kind of have to come to me and, you know, be in an area that we can see the field and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we didn't get to that point last week at Georgia, but it will certainly come up this week at home here. So we'll talk about it as we get closer to game time with our quarterbacks, but I'm sure it will go smooth and just something we have to adapt to and make the best situation we can out of it.
You going to tell Ted to dial up any blitzes or anything like that?
he'll be fine. He's got a good package going, and we'll be aggressive. We're going to be aggressive on all phases. That's the one thing I want to make sure we are. We're offense, defense, and, you know, kicking, obviously. You know, let's go play fast. Let's go play physical. And let's make sure we don't leave that field with any regrets. You know, it's been a tough year and up and down year in a lot of ways. But I just want to see us go play as hard as we can possibly play. Play for one another, and I'll be shocked if this team doesn't come out and play with great energy Saturday.
Visiting with Todd Fitch, you've worked for years with Skip Holtz and Lou, mm-hmm, and, you know, Don Nealon, Earl Bruce. How has taking something from each one of those guys and the places you've been help you become the coach you are now?
Well, there's no doubt. You, as you sit in a room with a head coach or another assistant coach, whatever it may be, you know, you see things that you always remember. And some, you know, I always say that you learn some things you'll do when you get a chance, and you'll see some things you'll never do. But, you know, I've been very fortunate in my career to be around some great coaches, obviously, as you mentioned, the Hall of Famers, and have some good friends that are, you know, extremely successful coaches too. So, you know, it's just something you kind of absorb. But the one thing you have to be is you have to be yourself. You know, in this unique situation, taking over, you know, late in the year for Coach Mason, I'm not Coach Mason. I don't have the same makeup or maybe the same, you know, way of delivering a message. You have to be yourself. You have to pick and choose things you think that are really good. But at the end of the day, if the players that you're trying to be something you're not, then they're not going to believe or follow. And that's the one thing you have to make sure you're doing. You have to be true to yourself. But it certainly has been a great resource for me over the years to be around some great coaches.
Now, when you work with Lou Holtz, does everybody have a Lou Holtz impersonation, you know, either on the staff or among the team?
There's always a few, yes. We had some players in South Carolina that were outstanding at it, to be honest with you. But, no, he's often imitated. There's no doubt about that. But, yeah, that was always one of the player favorites for sure.
Now, you and Skip, you guys go back a long way, don't you? You've worked together, what, like 20 years at various stops?
Yeah, you know, just under 20 years probably at different times. You know, there's times we'd be, you know, in other schools opposite each other. But we've had a lot of success, had a lot of champion. You know, we won a couple of championships together, things like that. And it was a good working relationship. You know, we started when we were young, and we kind of moved up the ladder together, that kind of thing. But, you know, family, friends, you know, our kids kind of all grew up together and everything. So it's been a fun relationship, and still talk a lot, you know, now that I'm here and he's, you know, still at Louisiana Tech. You know, stay in touch and just see how things are going. But been very good to me and my family, and we'll always be grateful to him.
I'm going to ask you more about the offense in the next segment, but just kind of bigger picture for your offense. How has it come along versus what your expectations might have been going into the season?
Well, obviously, early in the season, you know, coming into it, you know, we were very, you know, new in it, obviously, without, you know, a lot of spring practices, everybody knows, and, you know, interrupted fall camp. But then you also say, hey, we have, you know, a couple of new starters on the offensive line that have never played offensive line and at this level, and a freshman quarterback. So it was, you know, crawling, you know, in its infancy the first two, three ball games. It did some good things, but, you know, the production, the yardage and things like that, that weren't coming up, you know, as much as we liked. The break really helped. We got on a little run after the 2 week break. You know, it was kind of our mini spring ball, and we were getting better. You could see the progress. We did not play well the last game out, frustrating for a lot of reasons. But you know, up until that point, we had about a 4 week run there that we saw progress every week, some phase, so that you could see it coming. So
sure.
There's a lot of motivation on our side of the ball, and we got to come out and play a really good game this weekend.
You know, after that run of good games, what could you sort of pinpoint that did go wrong at Missouri?
Well, I think there's always more than one thing, but, you know, I think it was a deal where we played a handful of games in a row, obviously, against obviously quality opponents without a lot of depth, and I thought we were worn down a little bit. That's the first game that I watched on tape after the game that, you know, we looked a little sluggish, a little slower, just overall, not one player. And I think, you know, up front we were playing the 3 weeks previous to that really with five linemen, maybe a sixth guy got in a little bit. We had some injuries. We had some, you know, health-related guys out. So that, I think the wear and tear and just the physicality slowed it down a little bit. And they were an aggressive defense. And we just missed on some opportunities. We just missed a throw in the second drive of the game that was potentially a touchdown. It was a controversial call whether it was a targeting or not. If we hit that throw, you get momentum, you go, and you wonder what the day goes like. You know, do you get rolling? But we had some plays, but just never connected on a couple of those to get a momentum. And to create some explosiveness. So, you know, I think it was a little bit of fatigue, a little bit of worn down, and played a quality opponent, and we just didn't play as well as we should have. And you know, you can't hide from that. But like I said, I think this group was really looking forward to playing at Georgia because we talked a lot about going back and making sure we get back on track and playing the way we had been. And I think as we get closer to this weekend, we'll certainly revisit that, and I think our guys will be excited about playing another, you know, quality opponent on defense.
And that will be, of course, Tennessee, 3 o'clock on Saturday. Our guest is interim coach and offensive coordinator Todd Fitch. The Commodore Hour continues in just a moment. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour from the Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. I'm Kevin Ingram, joined by Vanderbilt interim coach and offensive coordinator Todd Fitch. As Commodores get ready to take on Tennessee Saturday, kickoff 3 o'clock, pregame 1:30, right here on the Learfield IMG College Network. We'll have the call for you with kickoff at 3 o'clock. Coach Fitch rejoins me now, and you know, as far as the offense goes, it starts with your quarterback, Ken Seals, true freshman. He's had a terrific first year. How has he matured in a short time, and just the decision-making part of the position as much as anything?
Yeah, I think you have to play the position, as you mentioned, just to, you know, you can teach, you can, you know, show a video, you can do all those things, which are all important, obviously, but you have to physically play that game at that position. You have to see the speed of it, and you know, you have to learn how to make decisions quickly, obviously, and be right more than you're wrong. And I think the biggest thing is most young quarterbacks is how do you make decisions when you're under duress? The way the game is played now defensively with all the speed on the field, especially in this conference, you know, there's not many times you can sit back there and, you know, just kind of bounce and throw it, you know. And so, you know, there's things happening fast, and you have to be able to process that information and make those decisions with, you know, a lot of things happening around you. And I think, you know, it's not perfect yet, but that's getting better. And I think his comfort level as a player, as a potential leader of the offense, things like that, he's just getting more natural at it. And then I think the last thing that comes about, he's starting to understand the pieces around him better. To really feel comfortable as a player, especially as a quarterback, you need to understand that protection, just like the offensive line understands that protection, or the blocking scheme for that run play, just like the line or the back understands it, to put it all together. Because the quarterback has to tie everything together offensively. So I think as he's gotten more reps and more practice time, that's becoming more clear to him. And you know, one thing about this league, every week you're going to see good players and great defense, especially the defensive line. So, you know, that's always a challenge for a young guy. But I just think every week he grows a little bit, understands his mistakes, and he works hard to try to correct them. So that's been fun to watch him, you know, work through that process.
Could you tell early in practice before the season started that he had a good chance of being the guy we've seen?
Yeah, I think there was good competition, especially after the first scrimmage amongst the, you know, guys we had on the roster at that time. And then, you know, really, he had all the reps in spring, all 4 days he had, because of Jeremy Moose, who was injured in the spring. So he really got every snap in the 4 days we had in spring. So you had a good feel that he picked things up quickly. You know, he started back in fall camp being with the most knowledge of the offense and, you know, most practical experience of the offense, which was little for everybody, but he had the most. And then, you know, the one thing I was good to see of him, this first scrimmage, he didn't play bad, but he didn't play heads and tails above the other guys.
Right.
And then he kind of realized his mistakes. He corrected them. And then he kind of went on from there and started to, you know, separate himself a little bit at that point. And then, you know, we had different guys out for health issues and stuff. And it just kind of weaved through the fall camp the way it did. And, you know, he came out on top.
What do you appreciate most about Keon Henry Brooks and just his toughness? I mean, coming back in just a couple of weeks from that injury in the Kentucky game, I know when it happened, we were all afraid that might be a season ender for him. But he's a tough dude, isn't he?
Yeah, the one thing, it's funny when you say his name, is he loves to play football. You know, I think a guy that loves to play football coming back from an injury, whether it be a major injury or, you know, a week-long or two-week-long injury, whatever it may be, those guys find a way to get back. And he loves to compete. He has obviously physical talent. He runs well. He has some explosiveness that we certainly need on our offense. And, you know, I think once he, you know, I think he's realizing this year now that he's kind of the, I guess you'd say, feature back when he's been out there the last, you know, 3-4 weeks, whatever it's been. He needs to get his body bigger and stronger because the wear and tear, you know, is harder when you're, you know, carrying the ball 15, 20 times a game, whatever it may be. So I look for him this offseason to really, you know, work hard on his body and add some weight and you know, and some strength to it, and then, you know, go with his, you know, natural talents. And I think he has a chance to have a really strong career here as he, you know, goes forward in year 3 and 4 moving ahead. But really, really pleased with him. Love his attitude. And like I said, I think the thing that stands out when you say his name is he's one of the guys on this team that loves to play the game and loves to compete.
We're speaking with interim coach and offensive coordinator Todd Fitch. Yeah, a little more about Keon. He is a good pass catcher, gets the ball in his hands and makes things happen. Is that something that a lot of running backs are either good at, or you just don't try it a whole lot as far as throwing them the football?
Well, I think you certainly in recruiting you look for a guy that, you know, there's a lot of things you look for in terms of, you know, grading a tailback. But in this system, we certainly want one that has hands, you know, because we throw the ball to our back, you know, quite a bit. I'd say an average running back that's our starter will catch anywhere from 30 to 45 balls in some form or fashion. And so he has that ability, like you mentioned. And then one of the things about that, and probably the game that stuck out the most, is probably the Mississippi State game where he had about 10 or 11 catches. You know, he has the ability, you know, you get him past the line of scrimmage, you get him on the perimeter, then with his speed, to, you know, to create some yards for you. So certainly is important. And, you know, it's a thing you look for in recruiting, and it matters what style of offense you run, but he certainly is a guy that, you know, excels in the system.
Your top three receivers all seem to bring a little something different, you know, Chris Pierce, Cam Johnson, Amir Abdur-Rahman. How do they complement each other and helping each other really get open at times?
Well, I think they all have a little bit different strengths to their game, you know, so they all fit, you know, they're not all the same guy, you know, where, you know, Cam is truly a, you know, a slot guy. He can play outside, but he's a really good slot. He has a feel for the game, as this season's gone on, he's understood more how that position fits here. And early on, he didn't have a really good feel for that, but every week he worked harder at it, and he started understanding some of the things we asked him to do, and he grew there. I think Chris Pierce is a matchup problem for people because of his size and physicality, and he can play inside or outside, and his confidence is just shot off the tables. I mean, he's practiced not only what people see on game day, where he's really had some good games the last month or so, but every day he comes to practice and he's enjoying football. I got here, he's one of the guys that, wasn't sure he's going to come back. And I had a lot of long talks with him about what we can, try to get done, what we can do to get him excited about playing football again. And I'm glad he stayed, and I think he's glad he stayed. And it's turned out to be a boost to him, and he's enjoying football again. And then, you talked about Amir. He's built similar to Chris, but they play differently. Outstanding blocker, physical runner after the catch, does a good job after that, and has shown the ability to go vertically and make a couple plays for us down the field. So they all have a little different traits, and which makes it good because you can try to, get them in the right spot and, get certain types of routes to them and try to, make sure you're playing to their strengths.
When I think about some of the best plays of the season, the one Chris Pierce touchdown against Florida really stands out, where he made some guys miss, he ran through some tackles. How much does a play like that really get everybody else in that sideline stoked up when they see a receiver with that kind of strength and just will to get to the end zone?
No, there's no doubt. It's like a great defensive play, an interception or a big sack, whatever it is. That play on our sideline and that day was really fun to watch. Great to see a guy and like I said, make a play. And that's something great teams I've been on. Guys, what happens is they're talented, but their confidence level grows when they see themselves improving. And then when the confidence grows, they make plays like that because, they're playing fast, and they're playing physical. So there's no doubt those plays, ignite a sideline or a team. And, I certainly hope we see a couple of those this Saturday.
Sure. What do you feel like the ceiling is for Ben Bresnahan? You're really talented tight end, and other guys, a good pass catcher for you.
Yeah. Good all-around player. I think he's playing in a kind of a system that fits his talents, or he's kind of a hybrid guy. He can play on the perimeter, he can play in the core and be part of the run game, and he's really kind of done a jack of all trades, if you will, and done them all pretty well. Has played really consistently. If you said who's played the most consistent football probably from game one to today, it's probably been Ben, in all positions. And some other guys have come on. We talked about Chris and Cam and all those guys, and some of the linemen have done a really good job over the course of the season. But, if you say, like I said, the course of the season to date, he's probably played the most consistent. Really good hands. And he's a guy that a quarterback trusts. He's a big frame guy like, some of those other receivers are. And they trust throwing the ball to him because he's proven probably, 4 or 5 times this year where he'll go get it in a crowd, or he'll, use his frame and body up a guy and use his body to protect the ball. And those things, those are the things that, really – let quarterbacks feel comfortable of just unleashing it and trusting the guy to go get it.
One thing you have to like about this season, and this has been a trademark with Coach Mason's teams, you lead the SEC in all 4 of the penalty categories as far as fewest penalties go. How much did that discipline start in practice and just kind of building that expectation?
Well, it's something you certainly, the coach has certainly emphasized over the time. And, it's one of those things that kind of goes unnoticed. The one thing you always talk about, you generally lose football games before you win them, and people don't understand that. And what do you mean by that? Well, you have pre-snap penalties, you have stupid dead ball penalties, you turn the ball over, whatever it may be. So you try to teach your team not to lose before they learn how to win, and that goes right hand in hand with it, because especially pre-snap penalties are killers, because those are things that you control, those are mental things, those are focused things, and you try to make sure you squeeze those out of your game. Every once in a while, you'll have a physical mistake, a holding call, or something along those lines, or a block in the back. But those mental mistakes, those focus mistakes, you certainly try to squeeze them out of your game.
Give us a quick scouting report on this week's opponent, Tennessee.
Talented team, just like everybody else in this league. The one thing, very physical, good size. They have playmakers on offense. Really like the running backs, play physical football. I think their line is one of the probably underestimated, I guess you'd say. They really come off the ball offensively. They have some really talented players. I noticed them because when we've been studying other people's defenses, we've seen their offense through the course of the year, and I've been very impressed with their offensive line over the times I've watched them. And then defensively, I think it's one of the better tackling teams we played. You know, we prepared for them twice now, so we started watching them about 3 weeks ago, you know, like everybody else this year. And I remember watching them the first time a couple of weeks ago, just good, solid tacklers, play a physical style, they communicate well on defense. You know, just like you would think with Coach Pruitt being a defensive, you know, guy, just what you think you would turn on the tape and see. And so, obviously, good talent, like I mentioned. So, be a great challenge for us. I know our guys are looking forward to the challenge. And, you know, obviously, you get to play in a game. It's, you know, a little in-state rivalry like this. These are always fun to be a part of. And, you know, we just want to make sure we're focused on us and take care of ourselves. And like I said, go play hard and play physical. And, you know, I'll be really excited to watch our players play.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you feel a little extra juice in the guys in practice, just knowing, you know, they're getting ready for, even though it's a strange year, it's still a rivalry game?
No doubt. I thought one of the things that happened, you know, a couple weeks ago when this game got canceled, you know, there was a little lull in the building, you know, because it was a Monday afternoon about 5:30 or something like that. We've done a Sunday prep Monday, you know, the guys were in watching tape, and, you know, we were done basically game planning early downs, first down, second down types of things, and you get that, and it's just kind of like you could feel the air go out a little bit of the team because they certainly were excited about, you know, coming out the Florida game, playing Tennessee, and obviously these games, you know, they have a little bit more excitement to them, and they should. You know, a lot of kids in-state players know each other, played against each other in high school, and you know, there's always a lot on the line. You know, there's a lot of things on the line in these games, and they're fun to be a part of. So it's, you know, one thing we want to make sure to do is enjoy it. You know what I mean? These games you want to enjoy. Don't dread them. Enjoy them, man. Go cut it loose and let's see what happens.
Yeah, Todd, I was going to ask you before we let you go. We mentioned earlier different stops over the course of a lot of years in football. What are a couple of the more fun rivalries you've been a part of?
Yeah, probably the two that stick out. There have been a couple, you know, obviously across the board, but South Carolina-Clemson was pretty much a hated rival.
Yeah.
It's small state and very, very, very bitter rivals. I was involved in the one game at Clemson is known as the push, it was wild. Fight on the field afterwards. I mean, everything you could imagine. Not with the players, fans. It wasn't players. Players were fine. Fans fighting. I mean, it was wild. And then, you know, I really, believe it or not, one of the ones I had no idea when I was at the Big 12 with Iowa State, and we played Iowa. Same thing, in-state rival, different conferences though. They were the Big 10. We were in the Big 12.
Yep.
But really, really heated. Some great games. We beat them when they were number 5 in the country 1 year. I remember And really intense with the fans. The student bodies were unbelievable there. So those are two of the ones that have been fun to be involved with. There's others, but those ones stick out.
See, I was thinking you might say West Virginia-Pittsburgh or something like that.
Yeah, the backyard brawl was a good one, too. That was a little bit more like West Virginia, or I'm sorry, like South Carolina and Clemson. Those were hated rivals there. That was the old Big East days and everything, and that was the backyard brawl, and that was a good one. There's no doubt about that.
Tondo, thanks so much for the time. Looking forward to Saturday. All the best, and we appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for your time.
All right. He is interim head coach and offensive coordinator of the Commodores, Todd Fitch, joining us here on the Commodore Hour. That was some good stuff. I knew he'd been a part of a whole bunch of those over the years, so appreciated Todd spending a half hour here with us. When we come back, we're going to have women's basketball coach Stephanie White join us. Of course, they finally got their season underway with a game against Little Rock over the weekend. We'll talk with Stephanie about how that went and just preview the season and what's ahead with her team on the court tomorrow night against East Tennessee State. Reminder, Gupton Jeep is your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram headquarters and have been serving Middle Tennessee for over 59 years. We'll be back in just a moment.